The Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, 1 through 17. Beloved one, I desire to speak with you now about a certain passage in the Scripture which you still have extant in this day. Some of the ancient writings from which I read in my lifetime you no longer have in your Scriptures, but the passages I will refer to is to be found in your holy book even now. The particular writing has come to be known as the Ten Commandments. And in this day I will give you some new commandments, and a new understanding, perhaps, of the ancient commandments. For when these commandments were given, they were to serve a certain purpose at that time, to set up certain guidelines for a new society. For you were coming out of many years of bondage, as you saw it, and yet it was by free choice that you chose that experience. You and the extended soul group were coming out of years of being in a far country known as Egypt and a far culture which you had, to some extent, taken upon yourself. At that particular time in your lineage, the group of people to whom the beloved Master Moses spoke needed guidelines for the new society which was now establishing itself. And many societies down through the ages, as you see linear time, have relied upon the Mosaic laws, for they are good principles. The first commandment reads, "And God spoke all these words, saying," that is, God spoke through revelation through the Master Moses, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." First and foremost, I am. I am the Lord your God. Who is the Lord your God? I am. I am that I am. The isness out of which I fashion this experience, this lifetime, this day, I am. That is the Lord God of your being. When you read this commandment for yourself, it becomes clear to you, I am the Lord, and you are. They shall have no other gods before me. Quite often in the human life, all kinds of other gods rise up before you and suggest, I have power over you in this day. You have employers who say, I have power over you. I will give you the golden coins only if you do whatever is spelled out in your contract, and whatever perhaps is unwritten in the contract, even as to expectation. And you may have the God of the employer set before you in that day. You may have the God of material possessions, the God of how am I going to pay for everything which I need for the bodily comfort, for the projects which I desire to do. And you begin to worship the God of the golden coin. Where are they going to come from? You have worshipped the God of wanting to be liked, to place where you say, I will do almost anything to have people like me. And you have found yourself in a pretzel position where you have made yourself into whatever you thought that someone was going to like, and then they didn't like you. And you wondered, well, maybe I can adjust another way. And you have tried that until it became too painful, and finally you reclaimed your own worth. You have set the God of the bodily health as a top priority in some days, for the body has called out to you and said, I am God, listen to me. If you do not pay attention to me, you will not get out of bed. And you have paid homage to that God, forgetting that the God of your being is the I am out of which you have fashioned all the other gods which you would put before you. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or likenesses of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. In other words, do not make images beyond yourself to worship, either in heaven, such as angels, saying, The angels are above me, holier than I will pray to the angels, I will pray to the ascended masters, I will pray to my guide, I will pray even to one known as Yeshua, and set that one above me as a god. I am not your god, I am my god. You are your god. Do not set an image of anything which you would see to be in the heaven above you to be worshipped. Do not set anything which you see on earth as a god. Neither the golden coins, nor the employment, nor the health, the friendship, the love, the companionship, nor earthly experiences, nor anything in manifest form. Do not set anything which you see in the water of the earth as a god. Neither the dolphins, nor the whales, nor the lost continents of long ago. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. This is a most misunderstood passage. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to any gods which we have just spoken of, because they are not your true God. The I am is your true God, your true being. The I Am is the source of your power, which allows you to experience whatever else of illusion you had set before yourself. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, this does not mean that our Father takes part in the human emotion of saying, you must serve me, otherwise I will be miffed, I will have hurt feelings. The jealous God is jealous in the strict sense of principle. For example, if you take the discipline known as your mathematics and you say that 2 and 2 are 5, no. The discipline of mathematics is a jealous discipline in that it is strict. You do not add the 2 and 2 and come to 5, you come to 4. It is agreed upon principle within the context of this belief system. The jealous God, which is spoken of in the scriptures, is a jealous God because there is principle, there is integrity. And if you worship another God and turn away from the awareness of the truth of your being, the divine isness of you, there is going to be seeming inequity visited upon you, brought on by your belief that there could be another power. And the inequity and all that proceeds from the false belief will be passed down from generation to generation through the teaching and through your belief system. You have known in your own experience the teaching of the family as you grew up. Their belief system was visited upon you, and you have come from that starting point to the place of your own understanding where you find yourself today. And the inequity of the false belief is not limited to the third and fourth generation. It is ongoing until there is one such as you who is a free thinker who says, hey, perhaps there is new interpretation here. That is why you are the gift to your brothers and sisters, even though they may see you as a thorn sometime. You are a gift in your free thinking, for you break the generation to generation to generation of unquestioning acceptance of collective beliefs. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and more than thousands, everyone, and keep my commandments, beginning with and proceeding from the first commandment of knowing that I am. The third commandment in the law of Moses reads, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain does not mean that when you are out in one of your green hillsides, hitting the small white ball, and it does not go where you want it to go, you take the name of our Father or my name in a certain intensity of feeling, oh God, etc. It does not mean that. What it means is to misunderstand the name, the nature, the wholeness of the Lord thy God, the wholeness with which you are one, the unlimitedness of your being. And when you misunderstand, take in vain, the nature of the Lord thy God, and you do not know your holiness, you stand in the place of guilt. Not because the Father judges you, but you stand in the place of guilt, in the place of unhappiness, the place of limited knowing, because in that moment you are taking your understanding of the nature of the Father to mean only part of the wholeness, often excluding yourself from that, and feeding unholy. Therefore, you do not go guiltless. You are in your own guilt, your own unknowing. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I would say to you, what is the Sabbath day? Is it just one day? No. Every day is your Sabbath. Make every day your Sabbath, your day of worship, your day of awakening to know, I am the Lord God of my being. I am, and this day I will create. How do you keep it holy? By remembering who creates each day. The divine holy child of the Father creates each day in his or her experience. Remember your wholeness and you will know the holiness of each day, every day, not just one day. Now for the society which is being set up, there were certain guidelines which were necessary. And in that time, the understanding was to set aside one day to remember as holy, to pray, to honor, to worship. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gate. I would suggest to you that in every day you do not work, but make it play. Find the joy in whatever your work is, and it no longer becomes a heavy duty. It is not work. It becomes the play of the innocent child which you are. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor the father and thy mother. Now I will ask of you, who is your father, who is your mother, who is your child. As you look around to the brothers and sisters, know you that each one has been your mother, has been your father, has been your brother, your sister, your child. In other words, the strict interpretation would be to honor the biological mother and father, and in that it is good. But take it a bit further than that. Honor your mother, your father, everyone whom you see. Honor them as mother, father, that their days may be long. Not long in longevity of many years, because sometimes a length of time does not bring a knowing of quality, but that thy days may be fulfilling. The word which you have translated in your scriptures as long meant to be full. Not just to be a string of days or years, but to be full, to be happy, worthwhile. That your days upon this land may be full, happy, and celebrating. Thou shalt not kill. A very good guideline for society. For if you have everyone warring with each other, killing each other, what does a society go? It dwindles a bit, doesn't it? Okay, thou shalt not kill. The truth of that is, you cannot. Not that it is forbidden to you. It is not a should that you should not kill. It does not say that you should not kill. You shall not kill. You cannot. You can demand of another one that he release the body. But it is his choice whether he will release it or not. You may give him such motivation that he may not feel that there is much choice in it, but in the final instant of either keeping or releasing, it is a free choice made by the divine being, the soul of that one. And in truth, you cannot kill. You can ask of one that they release the body, but you cannot kill that being. It was asked of me that I release my body, and I said, "If you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up." Know you the resurrection, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, adultery in the strict sense of the meaning has to do with the taking of another one's person, where there is one, at least one, in that relationship married to another one. One of the two in the couple, in order for it to be adultery in the strict sense, has to be married to another person, not involved what in happening. And what it means in the strict interpretation has to do with commitment. For you have made commitment in certain societal fashion of marriage, which has served society well. There is needed to be commitment for the bringing forth of the offspring, for the understanding of the lineage, as society valued that lineage. But I say to you now, the deeper meaning of this is the commitment not in social terms, but the commitment to yourself, the marriage to yourself. And again, you cannot commit adultery. You cannot go against the commitment because you have already made the commitment from time again, the marriage of the self to the self. You think you can play with it, but in truth you have already made the commitment before time began that you will, in some time, awaken and realize your whole self, the marriage of the one as one, holy. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not, cannot, divide the indivisible. You are committed to the one. Thou shalt not steal. Again, you cannot steal. Does anyone own anything in truth? No, you borrow it. You use it for a time being. You manifest it. If someone would ask of you, "I want your shirt," you would say, "Sure, take my shirt. Take the trousers too. I will manifest more raiment. I have more in the closet in my dwelling place. And if I don't, I know how to manifest it. I will go out and use my paper, my plastic, whatever. I will manifest more raiment." In truth, you cannot steal. You can rearrange the possessions. That is all that happens. If someone asks of you a certain possession, give it freely. And even if you don't happen to be in a dwelling place when they come and take it, after the fact you can say, "Well, they have helped themselves. I will manifest some more," and you go freely. Beloved one, knowing that all that the Father has is mine. Blessed are you as you remember this. You have heard it said that thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now I would ask you to consider, how would you bear false witness? It would be to see that one as unholy, as not the Christ, as not the equal of you, as not the child of the Father the same as you. Now in the time and for the society to which this commandment was given, it was for the purpose of keeping all the legal transactions clear. But in truth, the commandment, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," has a deeper meaning. Thou shalt not bear false witness even to yourself. There are times when you bear false witness momentarily to yourself and believe yourself to be less than what you truly are. less than the holy child of the Father. And you go about with a poor me attitude and you say, this is a bad day. I don't know why I even bothered to get up. Well, I will share with you, if you will get up a little higher, you will see it differently. Ever thought of that? Raise your thinking up a little higher on that day, and you will not bear false witness even unto yourself. As you remember the first commandment of the I am the Lord my God, and you bear witness to the truth of you, the holy self of you, then you will find you have to bear true witness to the brothers and sisters also. For you see them through the eyes of the Father, and you know them to be holy, perfect, the Christ incarnate. Again, it is not that you should not, but in truth you cannot bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, why would you covet? Because momentarily you are looking at the situation or object from a restrictive point of view, from a point of view that things are limited, and that he or she has a better dwelling place, a better mate, etc., and you would think yourself to be less than the other one. A very subtle thing here, a very subtle point, but in coveting what another seems to have, you are judging yourself as being less effective in manifesting that which you would see to be the best, most beautiful, valuable, and worthwhile. And that is not the truth of your being. Rather, look you with the eyes of the Father upon all that you manifest and call it good. The new commandments I give you today are ones spoken of as positive statements. I am the Lord God of my being. I am one with the Father. Take that to heart. It will transform everything which you see in your day. I shall have no other gods before the I am. Because the I am is that which is allowing me to see all of my reality with a small r, and I will make no graven images either of things in heaven or upon earth. I will remember who I am. I will take the name of the Lord God in truth, in understanding of the true nature, not just the name. We are not speaking here just of words. We are speaking here of the nature, the whole nature, the holy nature of the isness of the I am. And I will remember that is the truth of my being. I will remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and I will know it in every day. I will look for the holiness in every day. I will honor my father and my mother, my brother and my sister, and all with whom I companion, that my days and theirs as well may be full, happy, worthy of celebration. I shall honor life in all its forms and celebrate the expression of life. I shall honor the commitment to the true self of me. I shall remember that I manifest everything that I need in every moment, and that material possessions are the energy of me brought into manifest, tangible form. I may give these possessions, as I see possessions to be, to others as gifts, knowing that in any moment, in every moment, I manifest what I need. I will bear witness to the Christ of me. I will bear witness to the Christ of you. I will be thankful for everything I have. I will rejoice and be happy in each day, for I know that there is no need to be envious of another one. For all that the Father hath is mine. I am the perfect, divine, holy child of the Father, and it is my Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. All of the commandments come back to do basic ones. In my lifetime it was asked of me, which is the greatest commandment? And the greatest commandment is the first commandment. I am the Lord thy God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second commandment is as the first, to love the brothers and sisters as yourself. For when you understand yourself to be the holy child of the Father, and you know who you are, and you know that you come from the I am of you, you know your brothers and sisters as the I am also, and there is nothing left to do but to love self. Keep my commandments, beloved one, not because you have to, not because you should, but rather because you desire to. Keep my commandments, beloved one, knowing that they speak of your true nature.